those words back up to that little chorus we just sang, hallelujah. Can we sing that? Hallelujah, praise the one. Let's sing that together.
Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living.
Come on, let's sing it again. Let's go. Come on, church.
Hallelujah. Praise the one. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ.
For that. Come on, let me hear you today, church. So good. You guys sound good. It's what heaven's gonna be like. Amen. Listen, we call worship here every Sunday practice for heaven. All right? So if you're not singing, you're gonna be embarrassed when we get in front of Jesus one day. You'll be saying, he's gonna say, I gave you every Sunday on earth to practice, amen? Come on, somebody, it's good. Lewis family, y'all sing and get Ted, you sing this morning? That's what I'm talking about, sucking on that coffee right now, because Ted knows nap time's coming right now. Just kidding, it is so good. Hey, seriously, the songs, listen, I just wrote down some, the Lord speaks to me, Greg Milam, at just different crazy times, and I wrote, there's just some crazy phrases that we sang today in our songs. Listen, man, they, reckless praise. We sang about reckless praise. Man, if there's anything, any daredevils in the room, anybody willing to, if you want to get reckless with anything, get reckless with your praise. Don't you be afraid of what people say about you. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to sing even if it's off key. Amen. We'll sing in the middle of Times Square off key. Skip Hewlett in a few weeks has to sing for leadership training time a song from Hello Dolly in the middle of Times Square. You don't know we have all bought plane tickets and we're going to be there that night to watch that. Amen. Here comes the band. We sang this. Your promises never fail. And we sang, you've never failed me. You've never. Come on, y'all. Come on. God can be trusted. You might be walking through some stuff right now, okay? And you might be saying, man, I'm just hanging on barely right now. I'm barely hanging. I'm telling you, his word is true. Yeah. God is for you. He loves you. And he knows your situation. There's already a plan that's in motion. Amen. And you be faithful. He won't let you down. He's faithful. He's faithful. He's never failed me. We sang a phrase that says, the King calls me his own. I don't know about you. Do people ever talk trash about you? Anybody ever said something ugly on Facebook, social media? Anybody ever bust your chops? People say stuff about us all the time. In fact, I sent a word out to our staff this morning, 1 John 3:1, that the Father loves us tremendously and he calls us his own. We are his children. Come on, I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. He calls us his own. I've been called a lot of things, but I'm going to hang on to that thought about what God thinks of me. Amen. That he calls me his own. Wow, so good. Come on, let's just give the Lord a praise clap today. Can we do that? Anybody thankful? Come on. Hallelujah. Man, I'm telling you, those of you guys watching us online in Sherwood, Arkansas, or Squamish, British Columbia or wherever. You guys think you guys are having a good time, but you need to get in the house. I'm telling you, there's something electric happening. We are glad that you guys are dialed in. And what, last week we had over 146 different sites registered watching us online. That could be one person or it could be 20. Who knows? But people just, I'm telling you, God is doing something. We want to give him all the glory. You know that everything here is all for the glory of God. And we know that everything comes from him, right? Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father above. Amen? Come on, God is good. Hey, today we're going to pray. Today we're going to pray. And for those of you that are guests of ours here today, Ezra's not going to stay up here the whole time and play, although I think that would be cool because I would probably preach better. You know, the big time preachers have organ guys that just play and... But we're not going to do it, but it's good. You could. I know you would. But we're going to pray today. We normally pray for a specific church in our community. But here's the deal. Today, we're going to pray for our nation. Because this, and I know that we say this a lot, but this week to me has just kind of been magnified. Just divisiveness. And it's given us a pretty good picture as to where we're at as these United States. In fact, it's kind of hard to see a lot of unity within the states that are supposed to be united. Would you agree with me? We got parties against parties and people against people and protests and riots. We've got people thinking that they have the right to determine the importance of someone's life. And I'm telling you, we're broken. We're broken. Now, there's one of two ways we can respond to that. We can continue to remain dejected and downtrodden, or the Church of Jesus Christ can rise up and do something. The only thing necessary for evil to prevail is for good men to do nothing. And for far too long, for maybe whatever reason, we've been afraid of offending. Maybe we've grown just a little bit lazy within the body of Christ. Maybe we don't know where we stand on issues that are prevalent in our nation today. I just know that right is always right. And it's time for us to live out what we say we believe.
Hello and welcome to 1910 Church. We are so glad that you chose to worship.
That is really freaky right now. The enemy hates what's happening right now, because here's what we're going to do. We're at the call down heaven right now in this house, all right? In fact, here's what's going to happen. If you would join today, I'm sure anybody that wants to come and kneel at the altar today, we're going to pray for our nation. Anybody that wants to get up and come and just kneel today, we're going to pray for our country today, okay? And you don't have to come. You can pray right where you're at against you. But for those that would just come and bow, we're going to pray for what's happening in our nation. I want to read to you what the word of the Lord says. You guys okay if I read the Bible to you? Are you guys okay if I read God's word to you? Here's what it says in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and restore their land. Father, today we come before you as your people. And Father, the problem today this verse that you shared with us today, Lord, this verse is directed to us, your people. Lord, the problem is not a pagan culture, those who don't know you. And I'm not trying to be offensive when I say pagan, but the reality is you're either for God or you're against him. And for those who are not in the light and walking and living and for God, what you're buying into what the world is promoting. And it's practices. God, this verse is written to your people. Guys, do you understand that means us, the church? He says, if my people, listen, a pagan culture, those who don't know God, they're only going to act and do what they know what to do. But we who are children of the light, we know better. We know differently. And Lord, your word says, if my people who are called by my name. Hey, listen, Christian, that means you. These words are for you. If my people who are called by my name will pray, if they will humble themselves, if they will seek my face. Father, we must humble ourselves before you today. And that's why we bow our heads. That's why we bend the knee in this moment today. We humble ourselves. We acknowledge that you are greater than we are, that your ways are so much higher than ours. When you humble yourself, you acknowledge that there's someone greater than you. And that's why we kneel today. That's why we bow our head. That's why we grab somebody's hand next to us. We humble ourselves before you, a great and awesome God. There is no greater name. Father, your word says if we will pray, Lord, would you forgive us for not being a people of prayer? Lord, we ask your forgiveness that we have kind of placed this thing called prayer as it's become formality or something rote or ritualistic for some of us, non-existent for even others. We've not prayed. We've hurled insults. We've thought negative things about. We may have even said some things, God, but we've not gotten on it. We've not been broken for our nation. We've sided with one or the other versus humbling ourselves and praying. And your word says, seeking my face. You see, what the United States of America needs is it needs to seek God. One nation under God. We need to seek the one who ultimately is in control, the one who, and the only one who is able to bring about the healing and the restoration. If my people will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, oh Lord, your church in a lot of ways has not been any different than those outside of it. And Father, we seek your forgiveness this morning for not being salt and light, being set apart, being different than the world around us. We've given in and we've bought into their messages and we've participated in its pleasures. And Father, we've developed its attitudes and mindsets. And God, we've approached you much like they do in a kind of a nonchalant manner. Lord, would you forgive us of our wickedness? Could your bride once again rise up and be spotless before you, Father? You say when we do those things, then you will hear from heaven and you will restore the land. God, what these United States of America needs is a move of God. We need God to do this. On our own, we are not capable. We need God to move. God, I believe, though, that you're calling the church to rise up. And I believe that the church is what you've established and founded here on earth to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. It's the church, the local church that you have established to be salt and light in this world. You've called us to speak the truth. And you've called us to speak the truth in love. God, I pray that we would rise up. And so this prayer is not just for 1910 Church, but this church is for the body of Christ. Come on. Every man and woman, boy and girl who have called upon the name of the Lord and is saved, who belong, who are child of God, saints and heirs to a kingdom. The blood bought, the redeemed, those who, as we sang about, have been the recipients of great grace and mercy, whose sins have been covered by the blood of Jesus on the cross. It's time for those people to stand up and to speak the truth and to not be ashamed of the gospel and to bear witness to the one that we just sang hallelujah to. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. Come on, anybody thankful for that? You have broken every chain, and there is salvation in your name, Jesus Christ. He's our living what? Hope. So we pray these things in that awesome, powerful name. The name of Jesus. Everybody said in this room, amen and amen. Thank you guys so much. Praise Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thanks, Ezra. Thank you, buddy. As you guys are making your way back, I just want to take an opportunity to just challenge every man in this room. Listen, hey, ladies, here's what you can do. Ladies, you can go home today and make an incredible, huge, long list of honeydews that you say, hey, listen, honey, if you stick around next weekend, Friday and Saturday, I don't want you to know that this is what's going to happen in this house. You're going to do these things. Make it to where your men will be clamoring to be at Dudes Weekend here next weekend. Amen? Ladies, I'm giving you permission to be a jerk. Hey, man, listen, some of you guys need to understand, listen, we're not going to be spending the night together and sleeping in bunk beds, holding hands, singing kumbaya. We're talking incredible times of worship, iron sharpening iron. We're talking about turkey legs. We're talking about Red Ryder BB guns and mechanical bulls. Come on. Dude, when's the last time you ate a turkey leg and you acted barbaric? We're going to be challenging men to cowboy up, to become a man that God has created them and called them to be a real dude. We're talking rifleman. We're talking the Duke. We're talking the real men. And you know, hey, the women back then were tougher than a lot of men in this day and age were. Amen. They dipped snuff, chewed tobacco, and could shoot better than some of you. I've seen you. So listen, Dudes Weekend, we've got a special area to sign up next. It's not too late. We hope that you'll be here Friday night. And then we end around 3:30 on Saturday, so you can go home and do those projects that your wife has for you. Amen? Amen. Praise God. God is good. We're going to wrap up our series today entitled Dormant. And for those of you that maybe are just checking in, by the way, if you're a first-time guest, thank you for coming today. We are honored that you would choose this place. And I just, yeah, we're just, I hope it's been a great time for you and you've experienced the presence of the Lord. But we're in this series entitled Dormant. By the way, we kick off a new series next week. I'm not going to show you the bumper or anything. It's called, do you want to know? Yeah. Okay. The church is known for a lot of things. We're known for mainly what we stand against. And we've gone about promoting and standing against those things, I believe, in manners that might not be the best way. Yelling at people, protesting, boycotting. And remember when we all were going to boycott Target? How's that working for you? Right? And because the way that we've gone about speaking the truth and sharing what we believe is right, we've done it the wrong way. And what it's done is it's turned those outside the church off to it, right? Jesus shows up on the scene and he begins to speak the same truth and message, but he speaks it in a different manner. He uses love in his approach to people, right? Adulterous woman. Well, sir, you know that I'm not married. Well, I know that you're not married. In fact, you're living with a man right now that's not your husband. Reality is, man, you've been married 5 times, but here's the deal. I love you anyway. Hey, I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more. You see what I'm saying? Jesus spoke the truth, but he did have a spirit of love. I believe what our culture needs is for the church to love, but to love loud. We're going to love loud. We're not going to yell loud. We're not going to point big fingers and megaphones. And we're going to love people. We're going to love people. The reality is, I prayed this. I don't like what's happening and what I saw on news outlets across our nation this week. I don't like it, but I'm still called to love. And I'm called to come alongside and I'm going to share the truth of the gospel with people. Amen. And so anyway, love loud next week. We're going to wrap up dormant. Sorry, we got to go. We got to go. Come on, man. We got to go dormant. This idea of dormant. Listen, there's a lot of potential in us. There are a lot of things in us, much like we see around our landscaping right now. There are some things that just need to be resurrected. There are some things within us that they're still there. They're still present within us, but for some reason we've not brought them to life, or we're not demonstrating, or we're not letting these things have their full potential within us as believers. And it's not that you're done, or we need to cut you off and throw you out by the curb for the trash man to pick up. We've been talking over the last few weeks about how can we identify these things that maybe within us spiritually have grown cold or stale. Maybe they're non-existent because people just, we don't demonstrate. They're still there. For instance, you've lost your first love. We talked about that week one. The church at Ephesus is what we looked at. They were doing so many great things in the name of Jesus. They had just forgotten Jesus in the process. You know, you can do a lot of stuff, but not for the glory of or in the power of Jesus, right? And this church had gotten caught up with that. We challenge you to return to that first love. Fall in love with Jesus, then everything will be an overflow from that. Last week, we asked the question, what's in your hand? We looked at Moses, and he was holding that staff, and that was all he had, but yet it was that staff that would perform miracles. Moses saw it as a shepherd's staff. God saw it as an instrument for the miraculous. What's in your hand? The reality is you're gifted. There are talents and abilities within you that need to be resurrected and unleashed for the kingdom of God. Amen? You're gifted. There's something that you possess within you. So there's something that you were created to do, and only you can do it. And God's calling you to use that for his glory. We've been making this statement, and I'm going to make it one more time because this is the last week. But God's not done with you, and he's preparing you for something greater. Vegetation's gone dormant, but I'm telling you, there's still life there. And I think it's gonna be just a few days. Some things are already starting to sprout and grow and flourish. I'm telling you, in just a few days, maybe a few weeks, I'm telling you, the landscape of the hill country will remind us why we moved here. The cedar fever's gone, and we're gonna see the beauty. I just said Jesus earlier, and no one clapped for that, but cedar fever! The hills will be bursting with color, and the birds will be chirping, and there will be life. I'm telling you, what seems like it's gone from your life, I'm still there. And God wants to resurrect that. He's not finished with you. There's something great that's about to break loose. Amen. Well, today I want to just kind of talk to you, if I can, for a few moments about another thing that I believe that is within us that we have suppressed and we've kept pushed down for far too long. There is a power within every one of you who is called upon the name of the Lord and is saved. There is a power, there is a reservoir of life and energy and abundantly. There is something within you. If you'll just tap into this thing, I'm telling you, there are incredible things in your future. Let me ask you a question this morning. Have you ever, what is the wildest, maybe most far out there, craziest thing you've ever read or heard from the Bible? Do you read the Bible, anybody? Have you ever read a story, or somebody ever articulated a story to you and you're going, come on, really? Now, we know that the Bible is the Word of God. We believe that here at 1910 Church, this is the Word of God, inspired by the Holy Spirit to some 40 different authors. But aren't there just a couple of times in which you said, I think that guy took a little too much artistic liberty when he recorded those words? I mean, seriously, think about Moses striking a rock and water coming forth. You ever done that? Right? You ever walked on water? I know that on social media this week, I saw about a lake up in Minnesota, I believe, where it's frozen over and it's clear, and the guy on the video's walking out, and there's the fish and the rocks that you see. You know? Oh, that's what happened when it says that Jesus, it was frozen. You know? How else do you explain a Red Sea parting and 2 million people walking across on dry land, and when the time was just right, it enclosed and gobbled up the enemy. I mean, how do you explain those types of, how do you explain, maybe you've seen this and pulled this off before, how do you explain somebody taking some dirt, spitting in it, making a mud pack, putting it on a blind person's eyes? He goes and washes himself, and his sight returns. Whoa. The original Lasix. Right? Seriously, have you ever read anything in the Bible, or you've heard a story articulated and you're like, come on, that's just a little unbelievable? Let me ask you another question. Do you believe that those stories that we read about in the Bible are still possible today? Do you believe that there are some even crazy things that can happen in our culture today that to some people just seem unbelievable? You know, here's the problem with us today. We tend to operate, I must see it before I believe it. Prove it to me. I need to see something before I believe it. Versus what I believe is faith, that I'll see it when I believe it. Ooh, you didn't. I'll see it when I really believe it. And so when I ask you today, do you believe that the things that we read about in Scripture are truly, could they take place today? I believe that that's a testament of where we stand in this thing called faith. Will we really believe that it can happen? Now listen, real quick. This is not a sermon on whether you're a cessationist or a continuingist. It's not a sermon on that. Cessationists believe this, that once the Bible was completed, the gifts and some of the things that we read about happening here, they stopped, they ceased. A lot of them would be the sign gifts, prophecy, healings, tongues. They would say those. Now, continuationists believe that those things that we read about can still continue even today in the times in which we live in here today. This is not a sermon on that, and I'm not trying to be divisive and cause division there, because I know that in a room this size, and even for those of you that are dialed in online, I know that we're all over the map. Here's what I do know. God desires that this not be something divisive. And what I want to preach to you on today is something that shouldn't be divisive. And through it all, even though we differ on these things, we should still love one another and move forward together as one, right? Would you agree with me there? Right? Okay. And so this is not, but today I want to talk about this area in our life that's gone dormant, and it's the Holy Spirit. Because if you've been with us any amount of time here at 1910, you know that we believe this, that when a person says yes to Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God is planted within an individual. Do you believe that? Yes. Now, the problem is, to what level will you let him rise up and do what he wants to do in your life? Now, he's given it to you, but the challenge, and you might say, the ball now is in your court. What will you do with him? Here's what I do know about the Holy Spirit of God. He wants out. And he wants you to let him loose in your life. What our nation needs is a move of the Spirit of God. Right? We don't need more laws and man-made stuff and what have you. We need a move of the Spirit of God. That's how broken we are. And the question is, what role does the Holy Spirit play in your life today? As a believer, you possess him. Now, what you do with him, well, that's up to you. The power that's available. What role does he want to play in my life? Is he still capable of doing and performing the things that we read about in Scripture? And we could talk about it all day. And so I like to read the Bible. And when I go to verses like in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, it kind of gets me thinking on so many different levels. Look what it says. It says, now all glory to God. Let's just stop right there. All glory to God. I'm telling you, the things that are happening here are all because of God, not because of a man or a woman or a program. It's all God. The things in your life that are good and great and a blessing, whatever you would label this, I'm telling you, do you give glory to God because of that? You don't have to wait till November the 24th, isn't it? 5th, to do so. Thank him right now. All glory to God. But look what this verse goes on to say. Who is, what is he? He's able. All glory to God who is able through his, and here's what gets me, his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. When I read that verse, I like that verse on so many different levels. But when I think about it, Scott, from this idea of power that is at work within me, what is the potential of that power? What am I capable of when that power is at work within me? Well, Paul would tell me what. He says, when that power is loosed within you, when that Holy Spirit power is loosed within you, he says, you're able to see things and accomplish things that you would never, ever think were possible. Amen. That's what it says. Now to him, all glory to God, to him who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, he's able to accomplish infinite. Some translations say he's able to do more than you could ever dream or imagine. Guys, that's the power that I'm talking about of the Holy Spirit within you today. And as a believer, you possess that. Will you let him loose? Will you let him out? Will you let him do what only he can do? Will you let him loose? Well, I don't know. Some of those things are just, I don't know if I'm able to accomplish and do these things that I read about. Well, then I go to this other verse of scripture and it messes me up. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, where it says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So these things that I read about Jesus and what he was about, are they done? Do they end? The verse says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. Would you agree with that? I mean, he's who he's always been. Now, he's not physically present with us, or is he? Well, I'm going to go back to that power, and I'm going to go back to that spirit that has been placed within us as believers. And can I let you know something? You've been given that spirit to put on display. You've been given that spirit of Jesus Christ. He left that with us so that others could see him through us. We're going to talk more about that in a few moments. Spoiler alert. And then I look at John 14, 12. And I see these words of Jesus himself. He says, I tell you this timeless truth. The person who follows me, what kind of person? The one who follows me and the one who does what in me? Believes in me. The person who follows me in faith, believing in me, will do the same mighty miracles that I do, even greater miracles than these, because I'm going to be with my Father. Whoa, oh, wow. I got power in Ephesians 3. Jesus is still the same and will always be. Doesn't change. And if I follow him and believe. I don't know what that means for you. And I don't know what that means that God has called you to be, but I'm just telling you, I believe that there's great potential for us. When we let loose this power within us, there are things that can happen that you and I can't even imagine right now. A situation that seems doom and gloom to you can be righted and changed. An injustice that we see going on in our nation. If people eat up and consume with the power of the Holy Spirit would just rise up and respond and do something, do we not believe that that wrong could be made right? Are you beginning to see something here? I want you to understand that the Spirit was in you and he's able to do more than you could ever dream or imagine. And I want you to know something about this power. It's transforming. If you will let the Holy Spirit of God have it, it will mess you up in a good way. But it's transforming. Do you remember before Jesus appeared some 100 times to followers over the, after his death and resurrection? And during one of those last times in Acts chapter 1, he told his disciples, I want you to go to Jerusalem. And I want you to do what? I want you to wait for me there. Look what he says in Acts 1:8. And he says, as you do, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You're going to receive what? Power. That is the word dunamis. We get the word dynamite. You ever played with dynamite? Dude's weekend, we will. No, I'm just kidding. Just seeing if you're listening. You will receive power when the Holy, when what happens? The Holy Spirit comes upon you and you will be my witnesses. You see, we receive this power, not just for our good. We receive this power to go and share with others who he is. You're going to receive this power and you will be my witnesses. Telling people, he says, about me everywhere. Jerusalem, throughout Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. Now, there's something you need to understand about this power in Acts chapter 1. It was transforming. So keep in mind, one of the people that were there in Acts 1:8 was a man by the name of Peter. Now, what do we know about Peter prior to Acts 1:8? He was one of the disciples. He was pretty arrogant, had an attitude. He had a hot temper. He was probably redheaded. Any redheads that have a temper in the house, right? No? But you remember that he was the one that had lopped off the ear of one of the soldiers that came to arrest Jesus. Remember that, Peter? But remember just at that dinner before the lopping off of the ear episode, remember what Jesus had said to him? Hey, Peter, you need to know something. Before the rooster crows how many times? Three. You're going to deny me tonight. Not me. No, I'll never lop. I see you, Jesus. I got you. Look at this ear. But then what happens after he's arrested? We find three times this Peter, arrogant, brash, bold, fiery, denying Jesus. Aren't you one of his followers? No, not me. Didn't I see you with him? No. You must have been confused. I think you're, no, not me. I never knew him. But what do we know about Peter after Acts 1:8? In about Acts chapter 4, he preaches one of the greatest sermons in the course of history. 3,000 people saved and baptized. You remember? That's the same Peter. Lop an ear off, deny. That's the same Peter. The power transformed and changed him. Somebody needs some of that transforming power today. What about a man by the name of Paul? When this spirit fell on Paul, did he have a transformation take place in his life? His name wasn't always Paul. He used to be called Saul. He worked for the Roman government. His role was to go and persecute and dispel any uprisings that had to do with Jesus Christ. Probably gave so many of the orders to kill followers of Jesus Christ. We know that he was present the day that the first martyr by the name of Stephen, Acts chapter 7, I believe, was martyred that day, right? But we know that one day on the road to Damascus, on his way to go carry out some more orders from his Roman leaders, that there was a blinding light experience and God fell upon this man's life. Sends him to a man by the name of Ananias who lived on Straight Street, and he stayed there for a few years. But we know that while he was in Ananias' presence, the Spirit fell upon him and it transformed and changed his life. Talk about power. It changed his name from Saul. He got a new name named Paul, right? But instead of becoming a persecutor of the church, he became one of the church greatest church planters and preachers of the gospel, one of the greatest missionaries of all time. Come on, somebody. I'm talking about Holy Spirit power that if you will let it loose in your life, can transform and change your life. I've seen it. I've read about it. And I've seen it in some of your lives as well. I've seen some people in this house that truly get eaten up with Jesus and let the power of the Spirit take over, and it changes them in a dramatic, crazy way. That's the power we're talking about. Now, let me just real quick, because Ezra's here and it means it's time to go. You guys are ready to go to lunch. I know this. Here's the deal. You need to know something about this power. This power that I'm talking about rising up within you, that you letting loose. Listen, this power is for a purpose. This power is not for your glory. Do you remember what Ephesians 3:20 started out with? Now all glory to God. Listen, you possess this power and the Holy Spirit wants to rise up within you and you need to let him loose, but you need to understand something. It's not about you. It's about him. This power within you is not a license for you to go and be crazy or to act weird. No, it's the power so that you can bear witness to a great God in heaven and the transformation that he's brought in your life and what he can bring through you in the lives of others. It's for a purpose. powers for a purpose. I'm telling you, church, the Holy Spirit's in you and he wants out. Will you let him? Will you let him rise up within you? The Bible tells us, Ephesians 5:18, we need to be filled with the Spirit. And in Galatians chapter 5, he says, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Hey, you know what Paul would say to us if he were your pastor here today? He would say this, hey, listen, for those of you that have the Holy Spirit power within you as a Christian, check this out. You're supposed to live differently. You're not supposed to live like the pagan world who doesn't have this power within them. You're to be different and change. Listen, is there a noticeable difference in your life as a Christian? Are you different? Listen, I would love to be known for a lot of things, but I think the greatest compliment, if there was an epitaph that could be written in my life, I would want it to be written about these apostles that the power of the Holy Spirit changed and transformed. I would want it to be said of me what was said of them. There's a man that's been with Jesus. Is there a greater compliment? Kate, you're a great husband. You've been a great father, great business leader. God has gifted you. You've done some awesome things. But is there anything that would be greater for your legacy than saying, you know, Kate Jackson was a man who was with Jesus. You'd eat up with him. Patrick, same thing for you. So many of us. Paul would say, listen, this power is transforming. And when this power is let loose, when you raise it up and it's not door, listen, you cannot continue to go on living like you used to live. You're different. In fact, that's probably the litmus test. That's probably the litmus test if somebody's really spirit-filled or controlled or dominated by the Spirit. Is Jesus Christ becoming more evident in my life? When people see me, do they see him? Just as Jesus was a representation of who God was while he was here on earth, you and I are to bear witness as to who Jesus is through the lives we live. And Graybill, that will only happen whenever you let the Spirit loose in your life. Because I don't know about you, but there is still this war that's raging, right? It's a battle of the flesh. You put on the full armor of God each and every day. It's not a one and done armor, right? Every day. But I'm telling you, a person who lets the Spirit loose and lets him out will be different. I close with this. There is a tremendously untapped reservoir of power in every one of your lives, those of you who call yourself a follower of Jesus Christ. I'm excited to see what's going to happen when you tap into that reservoir. I'm excited to see. That's why I can stand here and say, hey, listen, I believe that there's a better future for you. I believe that there's a better day coming. What looks dead and dormant in your life, oh, no. I know that there's something about to break loose in you. And I'm telling you, let's let him loose. Let's let him loose. Let's let the Spirit of God have his way. If you're with me, I want you to stand today. Even if you're not with me, go ahead and stand up because you're hungry. I know. Ministry team, come join me down front today. I'm going to pray over us, okay? Listen, if there's anything that I would love for the house of 1910 to be known for, it's I want us to be known as a group of people, eat up with the Spirit of God, living the life that he's called us to live, putting him on display and giving God the glory for the things that are being done. Are you with me there? Change lives. Transformation. Father, that's my prayer today. That we would not be afraid of the power of the Spirit that is within us. And that God, that right now in the quietness of this moment, we would allow your Spirit to just begin to take over. God, that we would let you have that rightful place in our lives that you so desire. God, that we would allow your power to maybe even transform and change us in this moment. God, that we would begin to live the life that you've called us to live. God, that we would believe that with God, all things are possible. I don't know about you, but my Bible says I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Not some things, not a few things. I can do all things, but it comes through this dunamis, this dynamite, this power that we as believers have. Tap into it. The Holy Spirit is in you, and He wants out. Let Him loose. Father, for the person in this room today that's never said yes to Jesus, I pray that today they would understand that we stand down front ready to help them nail down that decision to follow you. There's no greater choice you'll ever make in life than to say yes to Jesus. Hey, this far supersedes where you're going to go to college, what your major will be, who you will marry, where you live. Listen, those things are temporary. Wood, hay, and stubble. We're talking about a decision that has eternal ramifications, that gives you a life here on earth that is abundant and free, but it secures your destiny and glory in heaven one day, where we will be reckless with our praise. Jesus, maybe for the individual in this room that feels like they're doomed or that their situation is hopeless, I pray that they would run to the front right now, that they would receive a word from the Lord through our ministry team about, oh no, God's for you. He's not done. He's faithful. And you hang on and you watch. Now all glory to God, who is able, by His power at work within me, to accomplish and do infinitely more than I could ever dream of or imagine. To Him be all glory in the church and forevermore. It's in His awesome name we pray. Everybody said, amen. Thank you.